Thank you. And look around you, and you'll see,
who you are on a clear day. How it will astound you that the glow of your being outshines.
Ooh. Hey, Carly.
Carly Jackson.
I thought I had to do it all by myself. I didn't know the grace of God was sufficient, and I didn't know the love of God was at hand. Oh. Well, now I will say, if you're discouraged, struggling just to make it through another day, well, you gotta let it go, let it all go. And this is what I have to say.
Jackson, Spiritus. Look at Spiritus.
We Woo! Are big.
We're big Spiritus.
We are big.
Good morning.
Maxi Spiritus.
Good morning. Good morning. I guess we should have sang we made it through the rain instead of on a clear day, but hey, it's all good, right? It's all good. And we made it through the rain. Look around. We made it through the rain. It's really good to see you all. If I don't know you, if you don't know me, my name is Britt Hall, and it is my true honor to be a part of this Unity of New York family, a spiritual leader, and to be back with you today. We had such an amazing trip, such an incredible journey. The retreat at sea, there were 15 Unity of New York family members on that boat. 9 days at sea. Was it 9 full days without sighting of land? 9 days. It was 2 weeks on the boat. What? Yeah. It was dolphins? You saw dolphins? What? Oh, God, I must have been in a bar. I don't know. Did you see dolphins? Jean Ann. It's kind of like being on the desert. You start to see a mirage after a while, right? No, I believe you saw dolphins. There was one woman that saw a whale. Yeah, it wasn't any of us. But it was really amazing to be with so many Unity ministers and New Thought leaders from around the country. We had some really great sessions with them, and I feel like we were representing Unity of New York, and now we get to bring all of that really wonderful, powerful energy back to incorporate that right back here where we are one, yes? Ah, and I'm so grateful to everybody who stepped up while we were away. I kept hearing, we were a well-oiled machine. I'm like, well, of course. This is a well-oiled village, and it takes a village. I know you had wonderful Sundays with Carlos and with Sean and with Kathy and with everyone who was a part of that. And I'm especially grateful to Steve Houck and Voices in Unity for stepping up in my absence. Really grateful. And most grateful that you are all here today, that we are here together this morning. Is there anyone that's here today for the very first time at Unity of New York? Anybody today? Well, okay. They must be out playing with sailors today. Have you seen any sailors? I haven't seen anybody for Fleet Week, have you? Oh, good morning. Would you please stand so we can tell you good morning and hello and welcome to this Unity of New York family? We like to say welcome home. Where are you from? Hallelujah. It's amazing how that happens. How long have you known that we were here? Oh, okay. We're glad you're here. And someone else who is not here for the first time today is Becca Bean, our very own Becca Bean. And I had been scheduled to speak today, and I was speaking with Becca and asked her if she would be willing to step in today. And so I'm really grateful to Becca, and also the woman of many talents and many hats. Sarah Dacey Charles is here as today's vocalist. And you already know that Spiritus is in the house. Steve Bogart is back as we are working to prepare for our week at the Unity Worldwide International Convention coming up in 2 weeks. So we're preparing a lot of music for that. And with that, please stand and wish each other a happy Sunday. Meet someone you don't know yet. We are back. Have you done May birthdays yet? No? Oh. Well, someone needs a May birthday cheer up, it sounds like. If it is your birthday this month, please stand. Please stand. The month of May. And we will honor you, child of God. Ready? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear child of God. Happy birthday to you. happy birthday. And happy Memorial Day weekend. We have made it to the end of May 2018. The final Sunday, not the end of the month just yet. And was it still raining outside? No? Well, look at that. April flowers bring May showers, or whatever, vice versa. Take a look at the front of your bulletin, if you would. At today's affirmation, I establish myself today in the courage of God. I establish myself today in the courage of God. Let's know it together. I establish our very own, absolutely fabulous Becca Bean.
Thank you.
Good morning, my friends. Happy Memorial Day weekend and happy unofficial kickoff of summer. Just like we welcome the return of warmer weather, I'm always so thrilled to celebrate this 30th annual Fleet Week in New York City. It is the cutest time in town, isn't it? Oh my God, I love them, all of them. They're just adorable, and we are so glad to welcome anyone here today who is in association with Fleet Week. So on this upcoming national holiday, Monday, lots of us will get a day off, and some of us will maybe get out to the beach if the rain holds off or get a little barbecue together. It's become one of those glorious long weekends where we can kick back, and it sort of makes it easy to forget what Memorial Day is really all about. I even tend to get it mixed up with Veterans Day, you know, in November when we honor all those who serve in the military. But Memorial Day, the last Monday in May, was created to honor the men and women who died while serving in the military. Originally, it was known as Decoration Day, and it started after the Civil War, where 620,000 lives were lost. So many people, in fact, that national cemeteries had to be created to accommodate them. In the late 1860s, after the war, communities around those cemeteries started to hold springtime cleanups and tributes to the fallen soldiers, decorating their graves with flowers and offering prayer. Many historians believe that African Americans were the first to launch the Decoration Day tradition. That makes sense, down honoring the grave sites down in the South of the Union soldiers who were killed there. It stands to reason that that's one of the first things a group would do, is to pay tribute to the dead who gave their lives for freedom. So in preparation for this week, I came across one pundit who wrote, "To me, Memorial Day is the day we remember what it means to be a hero. Memorial Day is the day we thank those who didn't get the joyous homecoming or the ticker tape parade. It's the day we remember the heroes who gave everything for the people serving next to them and the people they left at home. So what actually makes a hero? Well, a general definition is the willingness to make a personal sacrifice for the benefit of others. I guess I'm feeling kind of compelled to talk about heroes today because I think we might need to look a little harder to spot them. A good hero is hard to find outside of a movie screen or outside of a comic book. But in our time together today, maybe we'll discover there's a few more around, maybe even sitting right beside you. When journalist Tom Brokaw wrote his remarkable book, The Greatest Generation, it seemed that the years around World War II were just overrun with heroes. Men and women, even tiny little children, stood brave and tall against war and tyranny around the world. The moral compass of our planet seemed to undergo a huge shift in those years between 39 and 45, where good ultimately prevailed and a generation became galvanized by their experience and literally changed the world as we know it. So today, to honor Memorial Day 2018, we're going to explore a World War II story about the four chaplains. Just four regular guys when they got on their transport ship, but through some remarkable circumstances, they became heroes on one fateful night. Now, chaplain is a word that you hear a lot around here, as in the prayer chaplain team. And we're a different kind of chaplain, of course. We're volunteers for Unity of New York, and our little job is to hold our community individually and collectively in affirmative prayer. But professional chaplains are spiritual representatives attached to secular institutions like the military or hospitals, police and fire department, even Congress and the Senate. So let's meet our four chaplains. On February 3rd, 1943, the Dorchester, a U.S. Army transport ship, was crossing the Atlantic from Newfoundland to an American base in Greenland. Warned that enemy submarines had been spotted nearby, the captain had the ship's crew on high alert, ordering the men to sleep in their clothes and keep their life jackets on. Well, it was really hot down below deck, and a lot of them tossed their jackets aside just so they could rest. The ship was carrying 900 servicemen, merchant seamen and civilian workers, and four newly commissioned Army chaplains. They were Lieutenant George Fox, a Methodist minister from Pennsylvania, Lieutenant Alexander Good, a Jewish rabbi born in Brooklyn, Lieutenant John Washington, a Roman Catholic priest from Newark, and Lieutenant Clark Poling, a Dutch Reform minister from Columbus, Ohio. All four were seasoned clergymen who had just completed their Army chaplain school training together at Harvard, and they were on their way to their new assignments in the European theater. Well, just after midnight, a German submarine launched a torpedo which struck the Dorchester below the waterline. The blast killed and wounded many men and destroyed the electrical system, which plunged the ship into darkness. Panic set in, as you can imagine, as men struggled to get on deck and light emergency flares and get the lifeboats loaded and off the ship. The chaplains spread out among the soldiers, helping the wounded and guiding the terrified men toward the lifeboats. Once topside, the chaplains opened a storage locker and began distributing life jackets. When there were no more life jackets, the chaplains simultaneously removed their own and gave them to the next men in line. The ship began to sink. The four chaplains linked their arms and braced against the slanting deck. "The last thing I saw," one survivor wrote, "the four chaplains were up there praying for the safety of the men. They'd done everything they could. I didn't see them again. They didn't have a chance without their life jackets." According to some reports, the survivors would hear different languages mixed in with the prayers of the chaplains, including prayers in Hebrew and Latin and English. Of the 904 men aboard, only 230 were rescued. Perhaps because the chaplains died at sea and left no graves for us to decorate on Memorial Day, it's easy to imagine why this story has been so widely commemorated. It's been depicted in film and books and music, stained glass windows and murals all across the country. February 3rd is officially Four Chaplains Day, and President Harry Truman dedicated a chapel in their memory in Philadelphia. He said, "This interfaith shrine will stand through long generations to teach Americans that as men can die heroically as brothers, so should they live together in mutual faith and goodwill." And here's one more little bit of history to ponder. Just before boarding the Dorchester back in late January, Chaplain Poling asked his dad, who was also a minister, to pray for him. "Not for my safe return," he said. "That wouldn't be fair. Just pray that I shall do my duty. Just pray that I shall be adequate." Wow. "Just pray that I shall be adequate." Take that in for just a moment. Our four chaplain heroes were men of God, no doubt, who were as well prepared as they possibly could be, and they were certainly prayed up on that dark and terrible night. But that humble prayer request, "just pray that I shall be adequate," this was from a man who certainly knew God, and yet he felt self-doubt and his humanness to the core. It's a little startling to imagine that under their service uniforms and their chaplain insignias, that these four heroes really just like us, like you and me, all with the same challenges and shortcomings that we all have, everyday heroes propelled by circumstance, ordinary people who made themselves extraordinary. Now, some of us might believe that spiritual leaders need to be superheroes. Well, forget that. I mean, just look at Moses. The Bible tells us that he was terrified and could not have been less confident about getting those people out of Egypt. However, he prayed and he listened deeply to God within, and he had the faith to follow that wisdom. He doubted himself, and he even doubted the voice of God on occasion, yet he kept at it, praying and listening. We all have the courage and faith to embody heroic behaviors. Never forget that the noble qualities we recognize in others are the qualities we already have within ourselves. Unity minister Eric Butterworth offers a fascinating little insight into his definition of a hero. He wrote, "Why do we look up to certain folks as a hero? I think we might be surprised to discover that it's not always because of what a person can do or say or what they've created, but more likely the reason is much more subtle. It's because you have responded positively to their poise, to their emotional control. This is a person who, when faced with matters requiring quick action or decisiveness, remains calm and unhurried and unruffled. It's a person who doesn't waste their energy on emotional tantrums, so their mind is free to think creatively and clearly." Now, to me, Mr. Butterworth is describing the calmness and peace that only spirit can bring, the deep inner knowing that is inherently ours as children of God. The four chaplains had to remain calm in the midst of chaos. This was a time to act without a flicker of drama or distraction. They had to put their fear aside to bring the light of God for men who at that moment may never have had a glimpse of God's grace. Something about that image of the chaplains standing together on the deck just grabs my heart, with their arms linked physically and metaphorically, drawing courage from divine source and from each other in that moment. I believe that as they stood together, they knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that they were safe in God. One God. Not a Catholic or a Christian or a Jewish God, but one God of every man and woman. And while I certainly have never stood on the deck of a sinking ship, I feel I've caught a few glimpses of the support they drew from each other because of my participation in our prayer chaplain team, where I have been immeasurably blessed by the prayers and support of my chaplain brothers and sisters who have carried me through profound grief and loss and fear. So if such regular guys like our four chaplains, everyday heroes such as these, can overcome their terror in a moment like this, what is keeping all of us here today from stepping up as well? Unity minister Linda Martella Whitsitt, in her newest book, Divine Audacity, we're just starting that down in the Quest downstairs, gave us some really inspiring words to think about today. She writes, "When I know that I am one with God, I am able to boldly express the highest principles in the middle of everyday situations. I champion the goodness in myself and in each person I encounter. I dare to ignore the way things are and what cannot be done, bringing about the seemingly impossible. I disregard appearances to hold a vision of what can be so steadily that it must manifest. I believe in the inherent goodness of all people." You don't have to be a superhero or a superstar or a super anything. We only have to tune in to our essential goodness, or godness, as Linda writes, and follow its lead in all things. Divine audacity Or being an everyday hero is not reserved for life or death situations or only religious matters. It's relevant to the nitty-gritty situations we face every day. Courage means to take something to heart, where our deepest inner strength is found. The more deeply we feel that we are one with divine love, the more fearless we become. We no longer allow fear to guide our lives when we follow the inner guidance of our soul. Now, believe it or not, the Greater Good Foundation out at UC Berkeley is actually in the midst of a survey about what makes a hero. Now, it could be that heroes have more compassion or empathy, or maybe there's like this mysterious hero gene. They don't really know yet. They define heroism as four components. Number one, a concern for other people in need, or a concern to defend a moral cause. Knowing that there is personal risk and with no expectation of reward. In their survey of 4,000 Americans, here's a couple of things they found. 1 in 5 of those surveyed qualified as heroes by the definition above. 1/3 of the heroes identified volunteered frequently, some up to 59 hours a week. Males reported doing more acts of heroism than females. Now, some of the folks believe that this is because women tend not to regard a lot of their heroic actions as heroic. I think we tend to feel it's just what we're supposed to do for family or for a friend. African Americans were 8 times more likely than whites to qualify as heroes. And our personal history matters as well. Having survived a disaster or a personal trauma makes us 3 times more likely to be a hero. I love these last few lines from the Greater Good Study. They say, "Heroes circulate the life force of goodness in our veins. Every person's pulse is a part of humanity's heartbeat. And what the world needs now is more heroes like you." So are you ready to claim your title as an everyday hero today? Are you ready to shine your light of love and do whatever God is guiding you to do? Are you ready to think deeply and pray for guidance for the next important steps we must take as individuals and as a nation? Are we ready as a community to link our arms and hearts and join with each other to know the truth that we too can readjust the moral compass and change our world? Heroes inspire all of us to face our own challenges and follow our hearts to new places and new goals. Each of us is just a hero waiting to appear if we listen to the call to action and accept the challenges before us. Whether we're asked to rearrange our life to accommodate an aging parent or an ill partner, or leave a stable, lucrative job to pursue a lifelong dream, spirit will support us to take the plunge. Many years ago, as the AIDS epidemic first began to rage across Africa, a little boy named Nkosi Johnson offered some very simple guidelines to inspire others to help in the AIDS crisis. He said, "Do all you can with what you have, in the time you have, in the place you are." And that, my friends, is a hero. And so it is. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, David.
Breath and allow yourself to fully relax into your chair. If there are any areas of tension in your body, bring your focus to them just for a moment. Send them love and release. Feel your feet on the floor and the connection to the flow of energy moving through your amazing body. Allow your breathing to slow and deepen. And now, with intention, move your focus away from your head and down into your heart. In this moment, I fully inherit this place of calm and courage, where I know God is my source, supporting and loving me in every area and aspect of my life. This morning, we come into meditation to find whatever is needed for the next perfect unfoldment in our lives. On this weekend of remembrance, we call to mind those who have gone before in the service of our country, and we call all these brave men and women blessed and safe in God. And as we recall perhaps a father or a granddad, a son or daughter, a mother or a sibling who has also served and died, we honor them and we summon our own inner courage as a reflection of them today. Where will I bring my courage into action this morning? If there is any fear or doubt or burden in my heart right now, I bring it to mind. In this moment, I choose to see it in the full light of God. With my limited vision, it may look like a giant. But looking through the eyes of spirit, I see it diminish in size. And I bless it and release it to God's infinite power. Here in my heart of courage, there is no room left for fear. As my heart grows lighter, I relax and see the right and perfect next steps to take. My path is made clear and smooth as I open to divine understanding and the new guidance coming my way. With infinite faith in the goodness of God, I see my eyes lifting to a higher perspective. In this moment of power, I look beyond the past to know our future is assured. I am God's beloved child, and I go to meet my good. I stand tall and see my bold dreams are well within my grasp. And as we move into a few moments of silence, embrace this calm oasis of God's courage and let your heart soar free in this empowered space with new energy and zeal in the silence.